They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Romans, and in Romans 15, verse 14, it says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Dr. Stuart Scott, and he is the Professor of Biblical Counseling at Southern Seminary. And we're going to be talking about brothers helping each other and biblical counseling and what that is. And I just want to welcome you, Dr. Scott, to the program today.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's a blessing to be asked and a real honor.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you. And look, I just want to start by asking you, can you give us a description of what biblical counseling really is?
Yes, trying to condense the definition of biblical counseling, this would be my attempt at it, that it's the spirit-empowered process of one Christian humbly and compassionately coming alongside another with very careful consideration of all of the different data, personal, situational, medical, to lend words of encouragement, loving admonition, and practical help toward the definite goals of knowing Christ and glorifying Him. That would be the chief goal in biblical counseling, and becoming more like Christ.
So it really is a sanctification process in a matter of speaking.
Yes, it is. It would be the best biblical synonym would be discipleship.
Right. So in biblical counseling, many people might have heard, Dr. Scott, of, say, Christian counseling and maybe other methods of counseling, but many people in the church would have heard of Christian counseling. How would you describe, for instance, the difference between those two?
Well, just a few years ago, InterVarsity put out a book entitled Psychology and Christianity, Five Views, and it's as I looked across the evangelical spectrum, they surfaced up five views on approaching people and helping people in the area of counseling. And Christian counseling differs from biblical counseling because most of what Christian counseling involves is a trying to wed the psychological, various psychological theories and findings with Scripture. And biblical counseling is not trying to wed those at all, but it's saying God has given us what we need to be saved and to be sanctified.
Now this is really important to me because as a biblical creationist, we have similar things where we are saying, hey, you know what, we can rely fully on Scripture for truth, and the sufficiency of Scripture, the authority of Scripture. So really, biblical counseling in that sense is relying not on the philosophies of the world, but on sufficiency of Scripture. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, the sufficiency of Scripture reliance in that respect.
Right. The sufficiency of Scripture would be telling us that the Scripture is, when it talks about any problems that we face, it's comprehensively sufficient. It tells us everything that we need to know to deal with the problems in our lives. And we focus primarily on inorganic problems because they're highly theological. It's man's problems and solutions. And so on the sufficiency issue, it's not exhaustive. It's not an encyclopedia on every issue you might ever have, but it does address in a comprehensive way the matters of life and both salvation and sanctification.
Okay, so in that respect, if for instance, a person came, they're not regenerate, not saved, and they came to a biblical counselor, how different would it look to, say, a Christian coming?
Yes. Because biblical counseling is highly presuppositional and that we believe the Scripture teaches us all that we need to know in helping people with spiritual matters, 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that the natural man doesn't understand the things of God and can't do them. And so biblical counselors, if a person was unsaved and came to talk with me, I would lovingly care for them. I'd try to learn all of the information, try to draw out what's going on in their life, but I would be highly, highly evangelistic because that would be their biggest need is to be right with God. Now, a Christian coming for counseling would be radically different because they have the Spirit of God. They would be considered a spiritual man in 1 Corinthians 2, and so can understand the things of God and now has the Spirit enabled to do them.
Right. So can you just walk us through what a typical process would sort of look like, Dr. Scott?
A process if someone was coming to talk about an issue in their life, that kind of a process.
Yeah. How would it look if somebody walked into the doors of a biblical counselor and, hey, I really want to talk through this issue in my life? Is there a sort of a particular process that you'd go through?
Yeah. Now I'm assuming you're talking about a Christian coming
yes.
and wanting help.
Yes.
Yeah. I would first of all. Obviously loving, just care, concern for them. I would be very thankful that they were coming to seek help. We would open in prayer, asking God's Spirit to work and using His Word in the community of the church as well and have them involved. But I would be asking a lot of questions the first time I met. The Proverbs 18:13 says that if we answer a matter before we hear it, it's folly and shame.
Mm.
So we really want to gather a lot of information. So I spend about 2 to 3 hours asking all kinds of questions, and then I would be turning towards hope, that there is hope and help in Christ and His Word and the resources of the church to help this individual. I may not have all the answers right at that moment, and they don't need to hear all of the answers, but they need to know that there is a God and that He has given us what we need to work through these matters. And so I would be gathering a lot of information, giving hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, if this was a crisis, there would be some sort of guidance on how we're going to handle the immediate crisis. If it was not an immediate crisis, then there would be a plan. This is how we're going to proceed in interpreting things, dealing with the heart out into their behavior, so that they can be more useful and fruitful in the church.
Okay, and you just sort of mentioned their behavior there. What we've really talked about is them growing more in Christ. The counselee would be growing more in Christ as well. So it sounds to me that it's much more than just a behavior modification. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, behavior modification is just dealing with the external. And biblical counseling, because it's coming right out of the Scriptures, it deals with the heart of which behavior flows out of. I think of Proverbs 4:23, out of the heart flow the issues of life. And to just address behavior without addressing the heart, you're not dealing with hope and lasting change. So we want to deal with the heart, and then that flows out into, now here's where the behavior needs to pursue a righteous pattern and path.
And I know from, I've had obviously previous conversations with you, but you have seen some amazing change in people's lives, right?
Oh, yes. Personally, I have. And in a book that I edited along with Dr. Heath Lambert, we just have several of our friends contribute different chapters on real case, real live people, people that came in with fairly difficult issues.
Just tell the audience what some of those issues really are, because people might be surprised at really what some biblical counselors have been able to, by the grace of God, help people with.
Yes, we start out with sexual abuse, an extreme case of sexual abuse, obsessive compulsive issues and behavior, what's called postpartum depression and how to work and minister to someone and work through the issues there, extreme fear, phobias. We deal with Martha Peace, talks about a person she worked with anorexia. One of our other friends, Garrett, dealt with a guy with, it was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I talk about a woman that my wife and I ministered to who was diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder, homosexuality, addictions.
Wow.
Just various topics like that.
And folks, the book is called Counseling the Hard Cases and edited by Dr. Stuart Scott and Heath Lambert. But, you know, what really amazed me as I was reading through that book, Dr. Scott, as it jumped out at me that most people, when they hear these things, would send somebody initially to something like a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Could you just comment on that for a moment?
Yes, I think we have probably for the past 75 years, I say the church broad sweep there overall has been convinced that the problems that we're facing, we need psychologically trained professionals to help us. And that happened for various reasons in the history of the church of why that vacuum occurred and was filled with embracing psychology in the church rather than mining out the scriptures and applying them. But that's kind of the atmosphere in which we live and breathe in our churches, is we think any kind of a serious problem like that, we must refer out, and that the individuals out there who are well-meaning people have the answers, when really it's the Bible-believing, the leaders who have been trained in the scriptures. If they would understand the scriptures more and apply them and mine them out, are really the ones to deal with man's problem and solution. And so we just take old problems and they've been relabeled with psychological terminology. And it kind of convinces so many, even in schools of higher learning, that it's highly scientific and needs professionally trained individuals out there in the mental illness field, rather than let's talk about what's really happening in a person's heart and life and use the scriptures instead.
Mm. You know, and we're going to come back next week for next week's program, and we're going to talk about medical responsibility, because there might be a question here, well, what if somebody has a physical problem and it really does require a physician to look to medicate in relation to their real physical needs? And, you know, you might want to just say one statement, Dr. Scott, about that.
Well, we don't practice medicine unless, you know, the person, the counselor, is a doctor, and even then he's primarily counseling the scriptures. But we are not doctors. We don't practice medicine, but we work with the medical field when we're counseling individuals.
And we'll be talking a lot more about that on next week's program. If you want to know more about this, recommend to you a couple of things at Answers in Genesis: Counterfeit Counseling by Brad Bigney DVD, and Counseling the Hard Cases, a book by Dr. Stuart Scott and Heath Lambert as the general editors. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.